This is James Dillon with As You Wish Talk Radio. We're broadcasting live from Sayulita, Mexico. And you can hear the background, you can hear the band, you can hear the religious ceremonies going on. It's, what is this ceremony?
This is Virgin Guadalupe Day. It's on the way towards Virgin Guadalupe Day. It's on December 12th is when the big festivities happen. But this is working its way up to it. And we've had some firework bowls, and now the bands are playing in the plaza, and kids are running around. Everybody's happy. And a lot of great families. Coming Flair.
It's amazing. I think we can learn a lot from this culture here in the U.S., especially the way the kids are in joy, and they're hugging each other and walking arm in arm around the plaza. And you know, you just don't see that in the States. We seem to have lost our heart somewhere along the line. But it's just amazing the culture here, what's going on. And there's been a lot of UFO activity in the area as well. All over Mexico, they're having incredible sightings, just hundreds of ships flying over Mexico City and different places. You can hear the band in the background. There's actually been floats going by and with the old archetypes of Mary and Jesus on the cross and coming off the cross and going back on the cross. So it's quite interesting. It's quite just a whole different world down here. But it's beautiful. There's jungles here. There's beautiful beaches here. The people are beautiful. It's just amazing. Before we go too much further, on our website, if you click on the site, you'll see a very interesting story. This is breaking news, and there's so much to talk about this. Both of us here are very, you might say, analytical about this, but so far, when we try to use any kind of logic on this to figure out why anybody would perpetuate any kind of a hoax like this, it just doesn't make sense. So I'll let it take it over to you. Can you tell a little bit about the Merman? And
sure. Well, what I found, we were actually James and
yeah,
I
yeah.
Are, yeah we're and Jay we're in the plaza, and we were just hanging out with the festivities last night. It was
yes.
And this little girl came up to Jay and showed him a picture of this creature. We didn't know what it was or anything. She was going, look at this creature. And so what I did is I went on my internet, I did some research on my wife's from Sayulita, and she got the website for me, and I pulled it up, and it showed that it was a merman, and off this website of a local newspaper, that under the police category of this newspaper. Well, this merman, we tried to get kind of a scale on it. I think, James, don't you think it's probably maybe about 5 feet long, maybe about what it
looks
is
there, anywhere from. It's hard to tell because they didn't have any known objects right next to it, but we could see the grass and the trees and branches.
Right, and that one photo.
Yeah,
right.
We're saying it's 5 to 6 feet or something. It's hard to tell.
Well, it's very interesting because I do come from the film industry, and a lot of experience in the film industry, and we can get into that a little bit later. But I don't know why this could be a hoax. I don't know what the reason this could be a hoax, but it's definitely alien. to what we're used to as far as human goes. It has, it does have five fingers and webbed hands. And I talked to one of my waiters, which I own a restaurant here in Sayulita, and the waiter said that he went surfing today near Punta de Mica where they found this one merman. And he talked to a local fisherman, and the fisherman said that he didn't know anything about it. And he doesn't know anything about it. Not to say that it's a hoax, but what it is, they just got rid of it very quickly. The photos came out, and they got into the paper. By just looking at these photos, I don't know what the reason would eBay would want to put a hoax in around here at all. And with the legends of mermen and the continuity with what the head structure is with the gills and things, it could be. You know, it's out of its element, obviously, in the air and on land. It probably might, as fish do, they have more color to them, and this merman is very pale. But it's just an incredible object, and I don't know, again, reason why this could be a hoax. So at this point, I'm believing it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you go by Alberto, or what? How do you go by down here?
Well, my actual name is Mark, but people call me Alberto. So with my restaurant here at Slightly Fish Taco, I go by Mark Alberto, and it just sounds kind of chefy, you know, for me, and that's kind of what I go by. So, but you can call me Alberto, and that's fine.
But there's awesome food here, by the way. I've been eating here almost every day, and I never got tired of the menu. And the helpings are so immense. You know, we don't. So you gotta take it to go box.
Yeah, Jay had this shoebox burrito, which is pretty kind of famous. It's like,
oh yeah,
that is an alien in itself. It's
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this creature, and seeing this creature, and looking as your expertise, actually you worked in the film industry when, and you worked
right.
on the day after Roswell. Was it the day after Roswell? The movie.
I actually worked on the movie with Colin McLaughlin and Martin Sheen.
Yeah,
and I was in the
Paul Davies,
and Paul Davies. And I met with Paul Davies a long time before, I'd say a month, 2 months before that, working on research for the movie. And it was my job. I was working in the art department, and I'd collect research material and present it to the producers and kind of go through some of the objects and what they're going to do with some of this material. It really opened my eyes. And I have been I guess you'd say a spiritual person all my life. As a Jew by blood, but raised by Presbyterian and Christian, I knew there was something else always out there. And at eight years, I drew a picture of this, what I called the keeper, and it was his handout. And I just found out Jay was telling us that it's a symbol. Hebrew symbol, isn't it?
For
God.
Actually.
And at a young age, I was already drawing these things. And I got into the film industry doing a lot of horror films. And I did Warlock, and I did Hellraisers, and working with art department and the computer animation part of it. And a lot of research had to be done with all this kind of stuff at horror. And it was pretty natural for me, you know, to do this kind of thing. But hitting Roswell in my career at the time of my life, when I was very spiritual, it opened my eyes to something new. And listening to this and seeing some of the films and some of the documentations and hearing personally hearing the testimony of some of these people from Roswell as we made this kind of docudrama was unbelievable, you know, for me, that turned me into a believer that there was something more out there, that the spirit is what it is as far as we are space suits, and the spirit is the other being, you know.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the creature that we're looking at, to me, it's really, I looked at this thing and it looks very real to me. I have a very analytical mind. I have a very open mind, very analytical mind. But I would say, what would you say? That's probably an $80,000, $100,000 prop, right?
Exactly. No, that would be kind of hard to believe. It'd be something like taking the Roswell videos, the autopsy videos, and trying to turn those into a hoax. It would take $100,000 just as this would take a lot of money. I mean, somebody would have to put a lot of money into making a hoax like this. And what would be, why? You know, what would be the reason for a hoax unless it's not a hoax and it's real?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. What would be the gain in spending that much money to create this merman-type creature and have it wash up, I guess, on a beach? And wherever this washed up, it was in the police blotter. I mean, apparently they took photographs and we don't know where it went now. I'm sure it got whisked away by the Men in Black or whoever those guys are. But it's gone now. I'd love to get some DNA samples, but we know that's not going to happen. I'm sure they're already taking them.
Yeah, but we can, you know, obviously we. It's a small place we live in here.
Yeah.
And right as far as right now, the first initial interview is like my surfer friend. He couldn't find anybody who knew about it, but I'm sure there are people who know about this. And it's just getting the confidence from those people that we're not out to harm anybody. That nobody's out to hurt anybody with this. We just want to get the truth out. That if we can find the spot, obviously we can find some of the grass where it lay. Maybe we could get some samples of the area and take, because DNA doesn't have to be, you know, tangible where you touch it. It's in the grass. It's where it was laying. Take some of the samples and start looking around and seeing, you know, if it is real. What it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. The props that we were seeing, this object, to make a prop like that, we figured it cost maybe $80,000 to $100,000 to make a prop.
Easy like
that. And then to drop it off in a little fishing village where there's nobody there, I mean, there's no gain. You know, when you want to get to the end of anything, you go, okay, who's going to gain? Who's making the money?
Right.
And that's where you want to go. And so basically we're trying to find out any reason whatsoever. There's really no commercial gain for spending that much money and dropping off a creature.
Right.
And the detail on this, the scales, the gills, the colors, somebody would have had to really gone to a lot of work.
Yeah, we could see something like this maybe in Malibu and popping up and it's a hoax, but nothing to come down all the way down here. I've driven this. We're 36 hours away from L.A., and that's a long ways away. And to try to get to something like that on an airplane, try to get that through customs. I don't think so. At least in the next few days, at least you're here, and I'll keep going for research on it. You know, try to find some people who know about it. You know, I'm sure there's witnesses. At least maybe find where it was and try to get some reference on where it was and do some research.
Now, there's another crash here not too long ago. Can you cover the information on that?
That happened about 3 years ago in a town about 40 minutes away from here. It was called Chicala. And the information that I remember from it that there was some kind of crash that happened in Chicala. And the local police first came out and interviewed this rancher who actually saw the crash and reported it to the police. Well, the police then contacted the local officials here, and the Mexican military shut the place down. And about 2 days later, we heard that NASA came down and a lot of the FBI came down, a lot of the military services in the United States had arrived. And it was shut down. We couldn't surf. We it's a wonderful surf spot which we go to. We couldn't even get around the water. They had completely shut down the whole cove of this area and all the jungle. There is an eyewitness and that's something else. Maybe in another interview we could probably at least maybe get some kind of interview from that person about this.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I was actually just on the internet looking and googling around. For Chicago UFO, and I couldn't find anything yet, but it's just research, and I'm going to find out.
I noticed here, doing a talk here about UFOs, ovnis they call them here, but everybody is totally into it, and they go, oh, yeah, and they see it as a spiritual thing, or they smile, you talk about it, they don't look at you sideways like you're nuts, or... And, you know, their eyes light and they go, really, really? And they go, you have pictures? You know, you have contact? That wasn't us getting shot.
No, that's the party down below.
That's the party down below. Again, there's a big celebration going on here in Sayulita. But it's just amazing what's going on here. You know, in Mexico, when UFOs are flying over Mexico City and a lot of these other major cities, they, it's on the front page. It's everywhere.
Yeah, they're not afraid to put things on in the papers here. That's what's different about maybe the United States, where where it's edited so quickly and not put on because of reasons, you know, and maybe that's for corruption, that kind of corruption in the States, where that kind of corruption down here in Mexico is a lot more freer. Maybe Mexico is a little more freer with speech than it is in the States, where, I mean, there's pictures, graphic pictures of accidents here that, that make front page, or and where you wouldn't see any of that in the States. Well, something like this, you know, UFOs make, UFOs make, you know, front cover of other stuff, and you might be in the Inquirer or someplace else in the States, maybe as a hoax, but this is in front page of regular papers here in Mexico.
And I know a lot of officials and very official, you know, some of the reporting, you know, concerning these ships that have been flying over on a regular basis. But Mexico is definitely a hot spot. It's very similar to where we live in Mount Adams in Salt Lake, Washington, where we have ships flying over on a regular basis. It's a little harder to see the skies here, but because there is a lot of light, you know, in the plaza here. But I'm sure if you get out into the jungle and
it's
get on a
so
hilltop.
Beautiful. Oh, it's just a dome. It's definitely like what you have.
Yeah.
My wife has some high altitude property here, and we go up at night. It's spectacular. We're away from all life. That would be someplace that would be nice for you to visit.
Oh, yeah.
Spend a night out there and see what's going on.
I have a theory. I think the reason why that you don't hear about any of the UFO activity in the United States, and why they try to demonize it or make it dark and you know, put the giggle factor and everything else in there, is mainly because we've been back engineering this stuff since the 50s, you know, and we've got fiber optics and microwave and a computer chip and everything else. And so whoever is ahead in the technology game is usually ahead everywhere,
sure.
Not only monetarily, but as a military or anything else. And so it's pretty amazing how... It's a whole different story in Mexico. It's a lot more open. You know, there's not as much, nothing's hidden, and they don't have the big lust for power, it seems, and the secrecy that is in the United States.
Which, is, like you said, is similar to where your ranch is. With this kind of culture, it's a lot more from the heart. It's a lot more... it's not all about, you know, the money, the greed, the pride. It's more about the human factor or the spiritual factor. And they accept a little more. That's my wife, you know, she hears about a UFO today. She wanted to, last night, she wanted to look at the website of this merman more. And just, there's an interest, not a scary, you know, kind of get away kind of interest, but an actual understanding what an interest, you know, here in Mexico. It definitely could be an interesting place to do some more research on UFOs. It's a boom country. Mexico definitely is a boom country and all. And not to say we don't have our fiber optics now. You know, here in Sayulita, we have brand new fiber optics, you know, DSL technology. So it's pretty amazing, you know, what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I think if a UFO came and landed on the beach here, everybody would run out to greet it. And they'd greet it with love and be excited, and it would be a wonderful reunion, whereas our greeting is with military and with guns.
First thing we would do is call for assistance. I think, yeah, exactly. Here, I think something happened, you know, people go out and take a look at it. You know, we've had hurricanes go by here. I've seen even waterspouts here. You know, there's a sense of you know, acceptance of what's going on what's going on. There's not all fear here like there is in the States.
Yeah, I noticed when I first, the second day I was here, it was kind of interesting because I went for a walk down the beach, and the first thing I did was help pull a guy out drowning, you know.
Yeah.
And some people do come down here and get a little carried away. And we, you know, we got him going again, and you know, he went from blue to white again, and was breathing, and but essentially everybody just ran and hit together. Everybody threw him on a surfboard. They carried him out, threw him in the back of the truck, took him off to the hospital. And the whole time, everybody was just concerned, so concerned about this event, and how is he doing?
Yeah.
and, you know, really from the heart.
Very fond, definitely.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter, especially with this town, it doesn't matter where you come from anymore in this town. This town's a meshing or a melting pot of cultures and in the spiritual, you know, and some people have their hands out and they're friendly and smiling. And as you can hear by the music, it's not just Mexicans down there. There's people from Europe down there. There's people from the United States down there. There's South America, Argentina down there. All over the world, you know. They're here in Sayulita because Sayulita is a very special place. And Mexico in whole, obviously, is.
Yeah.
But this isn't just happening here in Sayulita. This celebration you're hearing is going on all around Mexico right now for the Virgin Guadalupe Day.
Yeah, and I've always very much aligned with feminine energy or the divine feminine energy.
Definitely.
I think what's interesting here, too, as well, is when I know some people first come here, there's a little bit of a culture shock because we're used to everything being clean and tidy and orderly and organized. Exactly. And, you know, and have the, you know.
10 years ago, and it took me a good 2 years ago through the culture shock. And you know, I came from L.A. area, from a huge metropolis with a small family to a gigantic family in a tiny village. It took me a while to go through that culture change, but now I understand it, and there's a bond understanding of what's going on here in the Mexican culture, and this is what I've been looking for. At least this chapter of my life, you know, is being here with these people.
I know that in the States, a lot of the major cities, there's like a grid or a net over these cities, and you feel this kind of an oppression or a pushing down energy, and you know, you have to conform, and you can actually feel it. And when you get to places like this, it's gone, there's a real, like a release or an expansion or an opening. I don't even know how to explain it, but it's where you're going, boy, all of a sudden it's like you don't feel something on your back anymore or pushing your consciousness down or whatever. It's just a whole different feeling.
Well, it's an awakening, definitely.
Exactly.
And it's an energy. And I've had people even leave and come back, you know, after 2 weeks in the States, and just the energy, especially off the plane, there's a sigh that happens within. And you love it. When I go back to the States now, I've been here almost 10 years. When I go back to the States now, I'm constantly having visions of Sayulita, and I think, what's going on in Mexico? What's going on in Mexico? I mean, I definitely
like
don't
your
have
heart and soul here. Like,
I don't have a good time anymore there, and maybe it's because of the area that I'm in or something. You know, I need to visit your ranch, you know, someplace out there. I love being in epic situations, you know, and with grand views and like Grand Canyon and things. I'm tired of the city. I'm tired of all the negative and all the coldness that goes along with being there.
I always feel like there's like man's plan and there's God's plan. You know?
Exactly.
Whatever you want to call it, whatever name you want to give the creator, but there seems like to be a plan that we're actually supposed to live as one big family in harmony with nature. And we've gotten so far away from that, and like all the Native American elders, they talk about, you know, the further away from nature you get, the harder your heart becomes. And
technology doesn't help with that at all.
No, and, you know, these people are going from a cubicle office to a cubicle home,
right,
to a cubicle mall.
Yeah,
also.
It's not a cocooning. It's called cocooning, where they stand. Their business and their home and everything's in one place. You don't leave. There's no relationship anymore within that.
And, you know, you wonder, it's like people don't know what that culture is doing to the other cultures. It's very sad, but it's creating a lot of damage on the planet because it's just profit at any expense. It's, you know, corporate profit at the expense of humanity is the way it's running. But, you know, we don't really need to. It's nice coming down here. What do you need? You know, all you need is a hut and a beach towel and, you know, a few dinero for lunch.
Pretty much.
And people fishing line, you know.
Oh, that's very true, too. There's so much. The resources here are amazing. You can live just on exactly what you said.
Yeah.
You have a fishing line. You can catch that bait. You can catch your bigger fish. It's so plentiful here. You can live in the jungle here. You can go back to 20 million years ago when we set foot here, you know, the species came here and get back to the roots.
Yeah, I know the jungles are just full of all kinds of guava and bananas and I mean everything is here. You could just take a little walk into the jungle,
right.
Grab some fruit, take a walk down the beach, catch a fish. You know, if you knew what else to eat here, you could make your own little jungle salad. You know,
exactly.
And cut a coconut off and drink the milk, which is incredible.
Oh,
you know, it's very healing.
Yeah, the movie Castaway, you kind of. You know, Tom Hanks, you kind of wish you were him sometimes when you're in the big cities. You go,
yeah.
I wish I could get away and just deal with that and go back to that. We have the, I want to talk a little bit about the hydroglyphic part in Alta Vista.
Oh, yeah,
and Alta Vista. About these writings on these rocks out there. It's pretty amazing what's going on there, or what has gone on there. And these Indians have come and they've put on all these rocks in a town called Alta Vista, or just below Alta Vista. And that's on the smaller too. It's kind of interesting where the location of that is. It's up in the mountains there, above kind of Chapala, about 30 minutes north of Sayulita here. And it's kind of hard to find the first time you go, but then once you find it, there's actually a caretaker there who will help you park your car, and it's all fenced area, and he even has walking sticks for you when you go through, when you enter. It costs 20 pesos for going in. I guess that pays for helping keep it cleared and help with the trash pick up. But you go in there, and you grab a walking stick from this guy, and you start trekking in, and I remember the first time I went, I was so anticipating, you know, what I was about to see. I had no idea because the first trip didn't tell me anything about this. How expansive these drawings were going to be. So we get about 20 minutes in and start seeing these rocks, these beautiful carvings of turtles and fish, and it turned into like crosses, a lot of crosses and suns and stars and as you get going more into this location through the jungle too, it opens up into this expansive cascading pools of water that dump into this, looks like a granite quarry of sheer cliffs with these giant squares of rock all around. Looks like something out of
Inca City.
Nothing that doesn't look anything that's around this area or anything. Very, very spiritual place. There are people who go there and they just go and meditate. But the last time we were there, the falls were just amazing, just casting water in these pools. And people, the kids of the local towns were just playing in the water. And it was such a wonderful, just pure feeling what was going on there. And a couple other people were up on some rocks. They were kind of meditating at the whole thing as it was going on. And as people walked in, you know, people walking in and out through the whole day. This was a Sunday that I went last time. It's really an amazing place. That's something I want to check out a little more.
I definitely going to try to get there while I'm here. Now, I heard a story from one of the locals here that he said he was there, and he said this being appeared to him, and just like a light being or whatever, just appeared and started singing, and it scared the hell out of him. And he went running out of there because he didn't. The guy was singing some kind of a song, and was very. You know, he just said he wasn't ready for that kind of experience.
Sure, he's in the meditation kind of thing. And that's the
And all of a sudden,
he opened the door to something.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I've heard a lot of stories that it's very powerful from some of the locals here that have gone up.
They do have some meetings and things that go on there. They actually have a little palapa hut that they meet under outside of this, and they meet there before they go into this. But you'll go through, as you walk through these paths, you'll see sacrifices of either turtle shell or people have put food on top of some rocks. And so, you know, it's still a working spiritual place, you know, that people are still experiencing.
That's awesome.
You know, it's definitely not a dead place. It's just very alive. Pretty awesome.
Do you have a... Kathy is right. I mean, Alberto is right here in the middle of his business too. So he's running his business while we're doing the interview and we're on the top. I don't know. Are you okay now? Do you need to take care of any business?
Nobody's come and gathered me yet. So
okay,
I'm
okay. So we can still go. That's great.
That's no problem.
So, But anyway, this is just an amazing view. We're sitting here looking down on the plaza right now, and you can hear the band playing. It's another celebration night. I guess it goes on until Tuesday or Wednesday? Or?
Yeah, the 12th, and which I think is Tuesday night, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, because then you're doing a viewing Wednesday night.
Exactly. Yeah, Wednesday so night at the Blue Iguana.
Yep.
I'll be showing a video of all the ships over Mount Adams in our area, too, to the people here doing a free showing. And I'm sure that's going to be packed.
Oh, yeah. I've been telling people. My son wants to go. My son's 6 years old. He went from, you know, loving dinosaurs and going into Star Wars, and now he's into actually planets now. He's really into what's going on in space now, and it's awesome for my 6-year-old to be interested in what else is out there. And I told him about the new planets that are being discovered now, and he wants to know what the names are.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he's all, Pluto's not the last planet, and I'm going, no, not anymore, you know, and our solar system. So
we can't really talk about those planets, because now they're going to have to rewrite the book.
Yeah.
Now the professors that wrote the book are really upset, so they're going to say, no, we have to discount these planets because I have to rewrite my book. You know, which that's kind of the way things go now.
That is exactly. But that's okay. You can't just forget what's really there, and that's what it's all about, is opening up your eyes and taking off the blindfolds and taking off the, you know, just not being in denial about what's going on here on Earth right now. And not only on Earth, but our solar system. These new telescopes that are coming out now, the Hubble's obsolete, and they're looking farther now into, you know, the past, and they're finding, you know, the black holes aren't black, they go farther in, and
see
even more.
Another universe.
Yeah.
I know they've got, I don't know what they're up to now. I know they're up to something like 500 billion suns, and with planets revolving around in our own little Milky Way galaxy. So, and then they found out there's 500 billion galaxies out there. So the numbers keep growing. I don't know what the latest number is. So then you take 500 billion times 500 billion,
right,
and then you add all the other dimensions to that are going on. It's unfathomable that there isn't life out there.
Exactly. It's
such a vast universe. And for us to think that we're the best God has to offer,
that's
pretty arrogant.
There's not just one pearl in the sea. I mean, there's more than, you open up that oyster, there's you in there. And I think that's where we're at now. I think we're going to start discovering, and I think with the communication we're having now with what's out there, with that you yourself personally have been in contact with, that we can't be arrogant about this any longer. And it's got to come out. And the government's going to turn into whatever they're going to turn into, and they're going to have to accept. One day, they're going to have to accept it. And
there's no way around it right now because from my understanding, according to the elders that I work with and the Mayan calendar, everything, that contact is right around the corner, where there's going to be mass sightings and contacts. And a lot of the people coming out of Peru and a lot of the Mexican contactees are all saying the same thing within the next 2 years. And some are saying even within the next year, there's going to be contact all around the planet. And it's going to be totally undeniable. And the people that have been denying it are going to have such egg on their face. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know what all these talking heads are going to do. They're going to be out of a job because everybody's going to go, well, you've been lying to us for so long, you know, we're not going to believe anything anymore, you say.
Amazing. It is really amazing. I just had a remembrance of a funny movie called Mars Attack.
Oh, yeah.
A really good friend of mine, he works with Tim Burton, and he worked on that film. They had a lot of problems with that film in the beginning. They had to actually go on a hiatus with it because of some problems with it. I imagine probably some political problems with it, with some stuff coming out. You know, even though it was a satire, there's a lot of truth that goes along with it because a lot of people are in denial about it. And my friend was an actor, and he had a great time on that movie, and I had a great time being with him on that movie, at least at my house, listening to every day and coming home and talking about, you know, Tim Burton's just ideas and what's going on. But all in all, you know, it's all visions. People have been given visions, if they're good visions or bad visions. You know, these people who are creating these movies, people who are writing these books, if some people know how to interpret it a little different way, but if you look at it, what it is all in all, it all basically goes down to the same thing. They're coming, and there's going to be some shock to it, but it's going to happen.
Yeah,
and all these movies and all these books are writing about the same thing, basically. It's a little different.
I think it's time to put out a very spiritual film about contact and and give the true message, which just isn't getting out. You know, everybody's covering the graves, the abductions, the experimentation, all that stuff, you know, and creating horror stories around
right.
it. But, you know, in truth, most of the universe is benevolent out there, and there's some very, very extremely advanced beings out there wanting to help humanity and the Earth. But again, we greet them with aggression, and that is the problem right now. It's our aggressive, primitive nature that we have to evolve, and we are going through a major leap in consciousness right now, evolution, where we're right around the corner. We're getting ready to take this quantum leap and open the door to the rest of the universe.
This leap is definitely going to take us into a new dimension, you know, with family beliefs and religious beliefs and where it takes us. It's going to be an awesome place. And that's why, you know, I'm excited that the meeting is with you, James, you know, and just be able to now share this and talk about this. It's something that a lot of people probably have inside them, but they don't have an opportunity to really talk about it. So I encourage everybody who's listening to this is to talk with a friend and see where it goes and start communicating about this, because it is real. And the less fear you have about this or the unknown, the better you're going to be when all this comes down to. And being with friends and being with family is very important.
Oh, I'm not greeting it with fear.
Yeah, not greeting it with fear. And
that's the most important, because, you know, they, you know, like the radio show As You Wish, you know, that's the ET's favorite words too. It's like, if you have fear and you don't want to have a contact, you don't want to experience them, they go As You Wish, and you'll be bypassed.
Yep, exactly.
But if you do greet them with an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent, you're going to start having some incredible things happen in your life. Just like the same way, same thing for spirit. If you open up spirit using the same tools, your life's going to change for the better. You might have to let go of some old baggage along the way, but it's very important that we greet the universe and greet spirit. And actually greet ourselves in the same way when
sure.
we look in the mirror.
Sure,
know?
Exactly. That's a great, great observation.
Yeah.
Greeting ourselves.
Yeah. I somebody said something. They were talking about arrogance and things like that, and they were talking to me. I can't remember what they were saying. And I said, you know what? I said, I really love myself. And I was laughing about it, and they got really upset about it. And I said, you know why you're really upset? Because you can't say that.
And
I don't have any attachment either way. You know, I everything just is. But I was just messing with this one person because they had a very low self-esteem and they were very judgmental.
Sure, sure.
And so I was just bringing that point up to them so they could take a look at themselves. And you know, I said, you know, you can love everyone and everything and yourself evenly, you know, without judgment or higher or lower or better or whatever. You know, we're going to continue with these dramas.
And there's so many dramas going on in the world right now, and you look at it as it's pretty awesome, because with all these dramas, it's going to, with every action is a reaction, and with all this drama, it's showing that it is coming faster than what we thought.
It is. You know, and I see too, it's like when we look at let's say this culture has some incredible they're very advanced in certain ways, much more advanced than what we would say call advancement.
Sure.
Because, you know, they're more emotionally advanced, they're more loving, they're more caring, they're hugging each other, they're walking around, there's more family unit. It's just totally different.
Yeah, you would never see this in Los Angeles. I mean, what's on the spot? There would be police ever. I think this whole town has three policemen in this whole town.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I'm looking right now at the children and at the families. The parents are just hanging out.
Yeah.
The children are running around the plaza. But yet there's a lot of people. I mean, obviously in the States, you would have people being kidnapped, people getting pulled out. There'd be a fight over here.
There'd be people be drunk, and the people be, you know, they'd be carting people off in handcuffs every time the fireworks went off.
This would be,
you know, so
they'd be breaking this up. But not here, not in this culture. And I think the world needs to look, or at least parts of the world that are having problems, you need to take a look at cultures like this and use this as an example, you know, for livelihood.
No, there's a town, it's a ways away from us, Hood River, this little town, and it's kind of a, it's pretty, it's like a tourist town, and what's interesting there is they had this thing going on, which was Friday night. They started going families in the park, and they started to create this kind of atmosphere there, which was really nice. And so everybody started this thing up. All the families were coming out. They had music, street vendors, artwork. It was crafts, everything. Very beautiful. It was a really neat thing happening. Right when they closed down in the summer, they shut it down at 9 o'clock. All of a sudden, the police start going arm in arm, walking down the street, telling everybody out. It's 9 o'clock. It's over. Cars with the lights on, everything up. I just said, oh, my God. You know
right
what?
No.
Yeah. I go, this is just a bunch of families doing. What has this gotten into? And, you know, everybody else in the town saw it, too. And,
yeah.
And you know, they did it maybe twice. And it was, you know, everybody said, you know, this is not Hitler, you know,
yes,
running things here.
It's Hood River.
Yeah. This is a sleepy little town here, and we really don't need that kind of nonsense. You know?
Oh.
So they did back off. But, you know, it is. It's up to the people to say enough's enough. You know, and I think that's where it's coming to, where people, it's going to look so obnoxious that people are going, you know what, I want my freedom back. You know, I want the simplicity back, and, you know, I don't want all those billions of regulations, and we can self-govern ourselves. And I think that's where eventually we're going to end up. You know, tyranny is going to fold in on itself.
But sure.
We're in that process. Right,
and there was a time when we were self-governing. You know, what happened? You know, greed, pride, ego.
Oh, yeah.
That's in, you know, power.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It somehow we lost track on that one. Maybe the.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we're still sitting up here broadcasting live on top of Fish Taco. And if you ever get to Sayulita, you've got to check out the place there. It's just amazing. But,
oh, well. Yeah, we're about 15.
So, again, there's a lot of activity happening here that it's calmed down here. The bowl went away.
Yeah, what a crazy bowl that was. It's just,
yeah.
We have these firework bowls that are just crazy.
Yeah, you set us up really good on that one.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Well, people, they've never been here before, and I have to, like, set it up. And people go, they're going to run a bowl in the plaza? Isn't that kind of crazy? As we talked about before,
yeah,
with all the kids and the families. And the,
yeah.
Yeah, we're going to run a bowl.
Yeah,
but it's flesh and blood. They're going to run a bowl? And
yeah.
I told them, my son got gored a little bit the other night. Well, these are fireworks bowls, you know, to all the people out there. You know, they're not actually running bowls, but I had James and Jay all ready, all beautiful, and they're going to run bowls. And I remember you looking around the corner, you hear all the screaming.
We're
all looking for this.
I was waiting for these bulls to come flying through the plaza, you know, with all these kids. I go, boy, these guys got guts, you know, to be running bulls through all these kids and everything. I said, I don't know. I guess, you know, I'm not going to judge it. You know, I'll just observe. And,
yeah, but, and they're great. They're these firework bulls, and these Roman candles go off on them and shoot fireworks around. That's why it's fun. Nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, it's like a what would you call it? It's like it's made out of wood. It's and they have a kid underneath it.
A kid underneath running with it.
Running,
and that
yeah.
Looks like a pole. They actually put horns on it.
Horns
and,
on it, and yeah.
And it goes through the phases of these different fireworks going around. It's half body of a bull, and
uh-huh.
As he's running with his head stuck underneath this thing. And,
exactly.
And then there's sparkle all around, and it stops, and it would actually spit out fireworks out of the thing and,
uh-huh.
And land on the ground, and those things would fly off into the plaza. It's pretty
amazing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we thought for sure. My brother and I were going, well, I'm going to find some hot ground here, you know.
Yeah.
I know those bulls can jump up on things, and I was looking around. I go, okay, where am I going to go when this thing comes running through here? And then we saw the firework bull, and I was kind of glad on that one. But, yeah, it's just pretty...
Guys,
we
have a
waiting for us to have a little visit here.
We have a caller. We do have a caller online.
Anything? Any kind of activity?
Hang on just a second. What was that?
Oh, I was just wondering. We do have a caller online. If you want to take the call.
Yeah, we could do that.
Or do you want
caller online? Let me see how. If we can. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, they're on.
All right. Buenas noches.
I'm sorry, I may have a hard time hearing you, but...
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm on a cell phone, so I don't know how good my connection is. But I had been going through, you know, the website tonight, and I happened to run across the James movies and stuff, and I was just very impressed about what you're doing and what's going on here. But I just wanted kind of to relay my own ET experience, if you wanted to hear.
Oh, I lost you there. Could you repeat the last few words?
Yeah, I just said that I've had my own ET experiences. And they were not of a positive nature, but I'd be willing to share them with you if you'd like.
Yeah, there's the whole gamut. We talk a lot about there are low level contacts, you know, and there are some grays and reptilians and abductions and things of that nature. But it seems like the benevolent ones coming in now are kind of putting an end to that. Was this recent or?
Well, yes, it started, to the best of my knowledge, it started probably about a year and a half ago. And I don't know how I became aware of it. I mean, I've had two near-death experiences, so I mean, I've had a very good physical contact, or I'm sorry, a physical connection, let me start over, a spiritual connection with God. But God kind of woke me up to this, that this was going on. And
yeah.
I was very frightened at first, and I basically spent 6 months of my life where I couldn't sleep at nighttime.
Uh-huh.
And I probably had about 20 incidents within a one-month period. And basically, I finally have gone to a clairvoyant several days ago, and this clairvoyant basically told me right off the bat, he said, you do have an alien race that is watching over you. And I simply asked him, I said, is there something I can do to help them? And he said, you don't necessarily want to help them. He says, they're not here to help you. They're not here to hurt you either. And he went into detail a little bit more. He said it was a Rigelian race or something like that. Have you heard of that before?
I have, actually, yes.
Okay, I still don't even know the spelling of it, but he did say it's reptilian descent.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
that whole gray area, you know, the grays and the reptilians. I always say it's a very gray, you know, gray area because some people have contacts that aren't negative, and some people have some that are really negative. So but we like to work with the ones above that are more like us, you know, more like from the Pleiades or Arcturian or Andromedan or. And I know when you start working with the more benevolent beings, the higher beings, the low-level contacts kind of change. The whole nature changes, or they stop altogether.
Well, that was the whole purpose of this. And the clairvoyant, his name was Dr. Mitchell Gibson. He's on the Conscious Media Network. Very impressive man. He's an MD, and he's had a surgery out, I guess, in California or somewhere. But at any rate, he's given me the instructions of how to stop this because it is of a negative orientation. It basically had a lot to do with sexuality and aggression inside. I mean, I've been walking like a double path in my life. I've been very spiritually connected with God, but on the other hand, I just had such anger and you know, things that you would assimilate with reptilian, like
yeah.
A reptilian brain or whatever. So I've been walking two roads in my life, and it's really been to the point where I was almost suicidal. And basically, to relieve this, I've been given a prayer in which to do that. I'm doing that right now, and I obviously kind of move out of that stage of my life and move into something new. I've spent 10 years involved with near-death experiences and, you know, UFOs and all this. And to come to find out, this clairvoyant said, you know, this isn't just happening in this lifetime. These beings were following you for several hundred years. They've been mapping your consciousness and your changes in
your
incarnation.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? We might have to let you go because you're breaking up really bad. What I want you to do is try to call in on the next show and we can cover this more in depth. But the connection right now, I'm hearing about every third word. So, but anyway, we're back on the air again, and we're sitting on top of Fish Taco in Sayulita, and we've got another serenade from the tuba section, the horn section, and you can hear this music. Tuba makes me laugh. I can't explain why. When I see the tuba, I just start.
That's that low end like a mothership.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we should have had him play that that intro for what's the one? Close Contact, when they go doo doo doo. Oh. Next time we're gonna try to get the band to play some UFO background music for us.
Great.
You know.
When the mothership comes, Close Encounter stuff?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But you know, you can hear all the people in the plaza here. You know, we're straight up above the, right at the top of the palm tree level.
Actually, yeah, we're looking down. We are looking down like they would be looking at Sayulita right now.
Yeah, you could visualize us seeing the ETs on high, looking down on all the people running around, partying, having a good time, bands playing.
Have you heard of any sightings around this area in Puerto Vallarta or anything?
There's several lists that I get that are contact lists or sighting lists, and it's constant in Mexico. And there's, as far as the sightings, there are so many. I could go on forever and ever just talking about all the different places that they're appearing. But I leave that up to other people.
Sure. Because now I'm here in Mexico, and I really enjoy, you know, talking about this and all adventure that this is becoming. You know, learning about other cultures of extraterrestrial and alien and ETs. That I'm going to start talking to my wife's family, and a lot of them are ranchers. They've been out there in the jungle, and they've been, you know, for generations, to see what I can come up with, you know, and what kind of stories they have about this area. And obviously, it's a very spiritual family that I married into, and see how far it goes, you know, with them. And like I said before, maybe just talking with people, and these people will bring something out, you know.
That's the way it happens. I've noticed it's even more open here where they will talk to you. But in our neck of the woods, if you talk to some of the old timers that don't have nothing to lose, you know, they're going, yeah, they're here. I've seen them, you know, and they talk about beams of light coming down and on their trucks and scaring their horses and, you know, all kinds of things. So it's
a lot of stories. Yeah, I just talked to a couple down in the plaza in front of my restaurant tonight, and just talking about your viewing you're going to have next Wednesday at the Blue Iguana, that they, you know, I just brought it up that you're going to be doing this. Said, you know what? You know, we know somebody who's seen one, and I think he said that he's even seen a sighting, but they're very, very casual about it. You know, people are very casual about it. They don't want to be real outgoing with it, but it's just like somebody else knows about it. They're like, oh yeah, I've seen something too, and so a lot of people I think have stories that you don't know about. And
it's like priming the pump, you know. Yeah. All you have to do is prime the pump, and then all of a sudden, you know, and you have to prime the pump, you have to be beyond any need for acceptance or approval outside of yourself. You have to treat this with a light heart and just have fun with it. You know, not argue with anybody about it, you know, but...
And a lot of people have those blinders on where they just want to argue. And people they've set their mind, you know, and that's like you said before, they're going to pass... When this happens, we're going to pass those people right by.
You
have a chance to experience the amazing things that are going to be happening in the next couple of years.
I just smile at them and say, as you wish. Keep going.
That's a great return.
Yeah, as you wish. All right. Nice meeting you. See you later.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on to the next.
But to the positive. Stay positive about, and that's the way life should always be. Stay positive. Don't be a negative person. Take it all in and be... Don't be judgmental and accept maybe somebody else knows a little more than you do in something. And that's just, we could all get along much better as fathers are with their sons. You know, I hope my son surpasses me, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, and I'm never going to stress my son any way. You know, I want to encourage him to surpass me. And that goes for any of my employees, anybody I have a relationship with. I encourage everybody, you know, to do what they should do, not be negative about it.
I always tell people, you know, I said, I've got the whole universe figured out finally. And I said, it all fits really nice into the great mystery. And that really leaves me off the hook now, because I can just say, okay, if that needs to be made known to me, it'll be made known to me. If it doesn't, then it can, And I always tell people when you, I tell people, don't be gullible. You know, keep your discernment.
Sure.
And if something doesn't seem right to you, just put it in the interesting box. You know, put it on the shelf.
That's right.
And
discernment's so important about all of it. And you know when it's heavy and somebody's talking to you and it's super heavy and you're just going, you know.
Your
spirit knows. And that's what we are. The spirit knows. And when you tap into that, and you're not gullible and you can discern, you can move on with life, and you can get educated just by communicating with people and experiencing life. Like I came down 10 years ago, experienced life, experienced this, and be open-minded about it.
Okay, well, it looks like...
I've got to take off and get going. I'm going to leave now, James, and thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for doing the interview. And
perfect.
And looks like we'll be signing off here pretty quick.
Okay.
And
just be careful if when you... I'm going to take off. Be careful on your walk down.
All right. I'll
my
do
beautiful
that.
View.
Okay, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
We'll definitely.
Bye-bye.
We'll stay in touch on the show. But the... going on and on, I guess we've just got a few minutes left. Our guest here on the show has to get back to his business. He has a thriving business here, and I can't thank him enough for coming on the show. There's so many things happening here. We're going to go on some excursions to some of these sites, some of these sacred sites, and talk to some of the other people that have had encounters or experiences with the UFOs, or OMVs as they call them here. I'm kind of in the Jaime Masson's territory right now. Maybe he'll call me and have me on his show while I'm down here in Mexico. But I know he has some, I'm not sure what his website is, but Jaime Masson has some of the best footage I've ever seen of the UFOs over Mexico. And you can go to the International UFO Congress and look at his last presentation. Actually buy it in a DVD or a video. And his presentation has literally hundreds of ships that are morphing, changing colors. It's, long tubular ships, metal ships. I counted about 250 ships in one frame flying over Mexico. So I think Mexico is going to be one of the major hotspots. I think a lot of the UFO activity is going to happen in South America and Mexico and Peru. The contacts are going to continue to happen there, you might say. And in our place too as well, they're going to continue there because, we greet them with love and acceptance and appreciation and we maintain our self-authority. But with this more spiritual contact, that's not a necessity. But in any walk in life, no matter where you go, you do need to maintain your self-esteem and your self-authority and walk in your own power. And then there's really nothing to worry about no matter where you are. And, there's an old saying, it's very hard to hit a smiling face. So if you greet people with aggression or if you greet people with anger or hostility or as the old saying goes, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. So it's very important for us to raise our own consciousness so we can connect with the higher, more advanced ETs and unite with the rest of the universe and hopefully turn this planet around, because they are here now to assist us in the awakening healing process. And I always say, in the interest of national security, it's a good idea to make friends with the ones that, have the technology that is sometimes 1,000, if not 1,000,000 years ahead of us, to try to shoot at them and take them down like we do now and steal the technology. It's just pure ignorance. It's not in the interest of national security. And a matter of fact, it could set us up for something, some real dire consequences if we don't start behaving a little less primitive on this planet. It's like going after a lion with a pea shooter, If you piss the lion off eventually, you might have some trouble. But luckily, they're very loving, very benevolent, very forgiving, and most of them just take the high road and let us continue with our primitive game. But you know, now's the time to stop, to lay down the aggression, the negativity, you know, rise to the occasion and join the rest of the universe. I guess we're about finished here. I've got to get off this roof. They're closing down. So, again, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Buenas noches. Have an awesome evening. I know I am. I'm going to come down and join the festivities here, and have a great evening. Good night.